Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Hello and welcome to episode 78 of the LA Rams UK podcast, 100 not out. I'm John and joining me this week is Chris. Chris, how you doing, mate?
I'm good. Good to be back, gentlemen.
Yep, good to have you back. And also joining me tonight is no longer an all-seeing eye, Andy. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. So, happy with the win the weekend, guys?
Yeah, definitely. Wasn't a classic game, you know, one for the ages, but at the end of the day, it's a divisional road win, and that's all that matters.
Yep. Yeah, definitely ditto that. As I put on the Instagram post, it wasn't pretty, but we are rolling, so... Yeah, definitely. It's a ground that we do like to go into, a stadium that we do well in, but still some definite things to work on.
Yep. So obviously we're here tonight to talk about our 2012 win over Arizona and what was the 12th match that McVay has played against Cardinals, and he's now 11-1, I believe, with his only defeat coming last season at SoFi. So going into the game, the kind of feeling was that this would be a tough-fought game, potentially quite close. Chris, what was your initial thoughts on how the game played out?
I think you're right in what you say. After watching what Kyler Murray had done the week before in Vegas, running around the backfield, getting a two-point conversion, and you're thinking, okay, he's coming into a bit of form. But like you say, that record speaks for itself, and when you've got a McVay team doing what they're doing, records seem to matter to this team actually more than what they let on. We all were obviously fully aware of the record that was outstanding for the winning at halftime that we spoke about a lot on this podcast previously. And I think that now 11-1 record against a divisional rival is something that I think he's really pinning his hat on. And you could kind of see that in the first half, that they definitely worked on things for this game, which I quite liked, to the fact that we, again, going over old ground, but sometimes in the old way of playing, it never felt like we were actually playing to who was in front of us. We were just playing to a game plan. But it did feel like we played to what was in front of us, because you've got to stop Kyler Murray coming out of the pocket, and that's exactly what we did, which can cut off his arm. And yes, they did have quite a few injuries to their receiving core. Appreciate that. However, you can only beat what's in front of you. So I was impressed in that basis. There's just still some silly mistakes that are still creeping in. And we're in week three. Some of these players have only played three games all season, obviously without playing in the preseason. So it's going to be time to come through it. But I was pleased to see it come out of it. And I was confident throughout the game as well. I didn't feel we were actually going to lose at any point. So no, it was interesting watch, but it was nice, obviously, not have to go through that terror at the end of the game as we did the previous week.
Yeah. Andy, what was your initial thoughts in the game?
Initial thoughts were just, you know, we got the job done. You know, it wasn't anything pretty, but, you know, as I said the previous podcast, you know, we needed to keep Murray in the pocket and stop him running around, and we did exactly that. A few silly mistakes here and there, but also nice as well to see, you know, we've still got young players who can, you know, step up through the injuries and put in, you know, good performances as well, which will hopefully stand us in good stead as the season comes on. Obviously happy for, you know, Big AD to get his 100th sack, but also, you know, Ramsey seems to have knuckled down, I think, a little bit as well, and seems to be coming back to what the sort of player we expect him to be, is, you know, that lockdown corner. You know, as Chris said, you know, there's still a few silly mistakes that are being made and everything else, you know, but on the whole, you know, we got the job done, and that was all that mattered for us.
For me, I felt like the defense was kind of not really firing on all cylinders, but was definitely clicking a lot more in terms of the way we're used to them playing. The likes of Ramsey looking more like himself again this week, even if his choice of socks was a bit odd, is probably going to incur a fine, just like it did for Matt Gay the week prior. To hold up at 12 points, to hold Kyler Murray to whatever yards he's got. Like, it was a good defense. I think a good solid defensive performance. When you think of the kind of quarterback that Kyler Murray is, and like Andy and I talked about last week, he's a running back quarterback. He's got the arm. If he's not got the arm, he's a running back. Being able to contain him to the pocket was probably enough to ensure that we would put ourselves in a position to win the game and keep control of the game. Looking through the drive summary throughout the game, so Arizona came out first, they punted after essentially four and out. Rams came out, 41-yard drive it was, resulting in a field goal from Matt Gay. Arizona came out, four and out again. Then Rams go up, 63-yard drive, which resulted in Cooper Kupp with a 20-yard rushing touchdown. Arizona punt again after a 16-yard drive. Rams go up, 63-yard drive for another field goal, taking it to 13-0 at the end of the first quarter alone. Quite an action-packed first quarter there. Coming out of the second, Arizona punt after losing 4 yards. We then punt for the first time after four and out. Arizona then goes 75 yards on the longest drive in the game. Second longest drive in the game. The very last drive was 89 yards. So 13-3. Rams come out, punt again, and then to kind of finish off the half, another 67-yard drive from the Cardinals to take it 13-6 at the end of the first. Come down into the second quarter, Rams to get the ball first, but go four and out. Arizona go 58 yards, taking the score to 13-9 with a field goal. Rams then get another touchdown with an Akers rush after an 85-yard drive. Arizona then turn it over and downs after 54 yards. The Rams then fumble on the goal line. That's the Cam Akers fumble, which we'll come on to later, with a 71-yard drive. And then finally, on the very last drive, 89 yards, the Cardinals went, only resulting in a field goal again, resulting in 20-12 win to the Rams. Like I said about the defense, Chris, holding Arizona to just field goals, did you ever feel like there was any risk of them actually scoring a touchdown against us?
I think you sort of mentioned it when you said that keeping Kyler Murray to his arm, I think, puts you in the driving seat. And I think the defense played, as you said, didn't play lights out, but did what they needed to do to win the game. And there was a lot of things on the commentary, and they're talking about soft defense, and it's something that's been highlighted quite a bit on this. But I think I've been thinking about it today, actually, and this is me prepping, ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't happen very often. I think it's a very good tactic that they've actually employed, that people think we are in a soft on the defensive backs or on the corners. Because if you looked at, you mentioned there Jalen Ramsey, he'll go soft, then he'll be on the line and he's the one rushing. And it's really obviously messes up with the quarterback's eye, because he's no idea who's coming from which side. Because you could either have AD coming from the middle, Foy coming from the side, but in the next minute you've got Jalen Ramsey coming at you. And Jalen Ramsey, for me, is taking on a huge leadership role, I think, in this defense this year. And I think, as much as AD is the guy, I think there's been some sort of conversation within that whole defense room where people have gone, okay, we need to step up here and actually not just all put it on one guy's back. And you watch him walking up and down the touchline, and he's talking to everyone. I think he talks to everyone anyway, even if they're not listening, but he just seems like he's taking something else on his shoulders himself to actually take control of it and show that he is coming into that veteran part of his career. So to keep them to 12 points, like I said before, they were missing some players. They were missing some through their own default of being suspended as well as injury. So they didn't have the weapons potentially that could have gone at us, because there were some plays that you know that's where they would have gone to Hopkins or whoever else. But to keep him where he was and actually not let them dictate with his legs, I think it spoke volumes, really, to actually playing, knowing what you were actually playing towards.
What's your thoughts on Ramsey's performance, Andy?
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, I think he's sort of, you know, after the first week he came out, you know, and said, you know, that wasn't his usual standard. He wasn't happy with himself. And it does appear that he has now, you know, knuckled down, got back to business, you know, and looked a lot more comfortable this week. You know, he just seemed to get around the right places where he needed to be. You know, like you say, he's bringing a different dimension, you know, with the blitzes and, you know, defending the run more as well. It's not just, you know, blitzing the quarterback. You always seem to find him in and around, you know, run plays. He seems to be getting his nose in, which is obviously, you know, is going to help our run defense to go. But I just think he has just stepped up that little bit more. And as Chris said, maybe taken that leadership role of, you know, I am the senior guy here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of youngsters, first, second year players around here. I've got to be that focus. I've got to help get these guys in the right position, get them trained up as well, and, you know, keep their confidence going. Because, you know, I'm sure like a lot of players, you know, you look at, you know, Darion Kendrick and Durant, you know, first year players, rookies, they're probably going to need that little bit of confidence from the guy, you know, giving them a smack on the head. Well done. You know, you're perfect thing. You know, you're covered in well, whatever. And he seems to be taking on that role, you know, of coaching these guys up and saying to them, right, you know what, I'll help you. This is what you need to do. You know, and I think that is only going to be good, not just for those players, but for the whole team as well.
Yeah, I have seen clips of Ramsey, and it's not even just defensive players. I've seen him go up to offensive players and, you know, and just kind of, if they've done something wrong in the last drive, you know, got them kind of like, it's all right, man, pick yourself up next time, just go out next time, you know, give it your all, learn from it, you know, and it's great to see. I think we talked about, you know, guys, like, I think it was Beckham last year was seen as doing stuff like that on the sidelines. The guys like Skoronek and Jefferson giving them kind of just a bit of kind of like confidence, like, look, guys, we all make mistakes, just learn from it, just leave it behind. Every play you go through is in the past, just keep focusing on the next play. And it does look like he's kind of, it's one of his ones, he's been in the league for long enough now, I guess. He is a veteran. He's kind of now starting to take on the kind of mentoring role, I guess. The likes of guys like Durant and Kendrick coming through, guys like Ramsey are going to be looked at to then mentor and bring those guys on as the future and the guys to, you know, fill up. In terms of,
I'm not sure he'd be quite happy being called the veteran though, do you?
Probably not, no. But he is, you know, it's one of those ones, like, some people define veterans, you know, at, you know, only 3 or 4 seasons, and some people define them as being in over 5.
I think, especially with him as well, I don't know if he maybe took it for granted of what he's seen on the practice field with these young guys. And then they went into game week 1, yes, playing a Bills team that were ready to go. Obviously, they come stuck this week, obviously, to Miami, which was a bit of a shock to me. But did he take, I don't know if he took advantage that these new guys would actually just step up straight away. He didn't really perform as well as he should have done and actually gone, okay, maybe I need to step up my game because these guys are going to follow me. I don't know. It's just something of a thought that maybe seeing him on the practice ground, maybe thought, okay, they were all right to look after themselves. And then the whole, every cog didn't obviously come in. They obviously needed just to sort something out. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily a case of like competition. Like there's a threat to his place.
No, I don't think so.
And the team, I think it's more that maybe to him, he's like, right, I need to step up because if I'm going to keep going the way I'm going to go, if these guys keep going the way they're going to go, it's going to create competition for me. And as a player, you'd be like, I don't want to be in that spot. This is if I'm performing subpar, I need to be above par. And it's on and uninterrupted. I think I said it on the first episode of the season. He did basically come out and was quite honest and frank. He says, like, no, it's unacceptable. I know what I've done wrong. I know how to correct it. I'm going out to do it. And he did that last week, and I felt again this week it was the same.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, maybe he's took, you know, week one's criticism. You know, a lot of people were saying he's washed. Maybe that's given him a little bit of a motivational and a kick up the backside to basically be like, no, I'm not washed, and I'm going to prove it to you guys that I am not washed up and past it. You know, because he's, what, 28, 29 now? So, you know, traditionally, a lot of corners, that's when they start slowing down. So, you know, maybe he's took a little bit of, let's say, that to heart and gone, now I'm going to prove to you I'm still the best corner in this league.
Yep, could be the case. Sticking with the defence, the big talking point on the defence is, of course, Aaron Donald reaching that 100 milestone of sacks and counting. He's now 38 off the all-time record. He's the quickest defensive tackle to reach 100 sacks. The main question now being asked is, do you guys think he can make 138?
I don't see why not, to be honest. I'd expect really probably another 3-4 years minimum out of him in the league, if everything goes to plan, obviously. So I don't see any reason why, you know, his pace that he tends to set, he's, you know, at least double-digit sacks every year as a rule. So, I can see him beating it, to be perfectly honest. And I think that, like I said the other week with him, is maybe a bit of that driving force of, okay, you know, I've got how many defensive player of the years, Pro Bowls every year, you know, I've got the ring, you know, what else can I look forward to? And I think maybe that could be the driving factor of, right, okay, I want that record and I want to beat that record and prove that I am the greatest defensive player ever. You know, and I think that is what's going to drive him, I think, forward, is that goal.
Think he'll make it, Chris?
It's a bit of a silly question when you know AD's my guy.
Well, just looking at his stats, he always hits double digits. The last time he didn't hit double digits was 2016, where he only got 8. And like since then, it's been 11, 20.5, 12.5, 13.5, 12.5. You're talking, if he has an amazing season like he did have in 2018, he could hit it.
Do it in two. I mean, and that's being double teamed, triple teamed, all teamed. Do you know what I mean? And he's still getting those numbers. It's, the guy's a machine. He's not made out. He's made out of a granite more than anything else. And when you actually saw his interview at the end of the game, I think he knew it was going to happen, but it was like, oh, okay, fair enough. Let's move on. And the interviewer, she said, I know you're not the one to talk about yourself. And he was very quick to turn it from on him to then to the team. And I think that's what he's about. But I agree with Andy. I think that could be his driving force now, because he has got every other accolade. So I'm looking forward to seeing him get as close as, or even further past it as possible.
Do you think it was also a bit bittersweet that it was, unfortunately, it was not Russell Wilson, because we need to wait to Christmas Day for him to get to him? Do you think?
I think that would have been easier. That would have been nicer, wouldn't it? I think
it would have been nicer, yeah. But do you think Murray was, you know, an acceptable second on the wish list of who would get the milestone against?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think over the past couple of years, I'm not being funny, Murray has kind of tortured our defensive line with his mobility. So I think the fact of, you know, just him, for what he's done over the past couple of years, I think would be quite pleasing for Aaron Donald that, you know, he got him.
I don't know. Maybe if it would have been Brady for your 100th, that might have been nice.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Maybe.
Some people, I guess, you know, debatable, I guess, would say it'd be a bit of goat and goat action there, then, eh?
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah, possibly could have been better if it was Brady, but, well, I
don't think he really cares who it was, neither does he.
No, I don't think he probably does. So moving over to the offense. In the first 2 weeks, the big talking point coming out of Stafford's performances has been his interceptions. This week, 18 completions off of 25 attempts, 249 yards, no touchdowns, but no interceptions. Bearing in mind, this is the first game for the Rams where he's never thrown a single touchdown pass. How was Stafford's overall performance for you, Andy?
Overall, I think he played pretty well. You know, obviously, nice to see a big zero in the, you know, interceptions column. You know, would have been maybe nice for him to have, you know, kept that record going with, you know, touchdowns every game. But I think, you know, he just managed the game well, which is all we really needed in the end, was just manage the game. You know, let's be honest, I think, was it for 3/4 of the game, he was out rushing Kyler Murray, which is, I don't think anything any of us would have ever thought coming into the game, you know, that would ever be the case. But I think overall, it was, he just did what he needed to do. He managed the game. He, you know, he didn't make any costly mistakes. And, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, a drop by Robinson, he probably would have got that touchdown. So overall, I was pleased with his performance. You know, obviously, you know, I think everybody looks at the stats and, you know, no touchdowns and this. But at the end of the day, he, as long as somebody's scoring it, that's all that matters to us, is, you know, that we're getting the job done.
Chris, your thoughts on the stats?
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And I don't think you can call it a drop by Robinson. I think you can call it a clanger and an absolute shocker to let that ball go through his hands. But no, in relation to Stafford, the interceptions thing for me is sometimes he looks like he's pushing it too far, but sometimes he's actually looking like he's trying to go through. He's trying to be too precise, and that's why he's trying to go through gaps, and the interceptions just come from that. But yeah, the sidearm stuff seems to be coming a little bit more, which is interesting. But like you say, you put the numbers on the board, and he's obviously got to put it in the running back's hand to obviously do it. And the Cooper Kupp rushing touchdown for me, that is so much practice on the practice field with him watching film to get that timing on that as much as a to obviously a passing touchdown for me is working as easy as well as that. Do you know what I mean? It's to be able to get where they are and do what those two guys do. It's yeah, pretty special, to be fair. And he's got a little bit more help in front of him now with Mr. Benjamin Skoronic as his fullback, and he knows he's got someone else watching out for him, so he can do different things, I think.
Yep. Just before we come on to the man you just mentioned there, Skoronic, for me, I think it's one of those games that it doesn't really matter that there's a zero in the touchdown column, because he did get us down the field. He didn't turn the ball over once. The only thing that was missing from Stafford's game was a touchdown pass, but it seemed like they wanted to more establish kind of a ground offense where possible, even though we only got 100 yards on the ground, which is a bit of a surprise considering it felt like we were on the ground more. There was a few passes, though. He did overthrow it a few times, and there was one, I can't even remember who the intended receiver was. I'm not sure if it was Kupp or not, but it was nowhere near him, and Stafford kind of pointed down the direction of the field where he thought the receiver was going to be, almost as if there was a bit of kind of like, they're not really synced, I guess, in terms of the route that the receiver should have been running. I'm not sure if it was Kupp or not, I can't remember.
I think that was the Atwell one.
The Atwell?
Yeah. Atwell went straight, and I think it looked like Stafford was saying, no, you should have broke on the post and got a bit more sort of diagonally to where it was.
Yep, Stafford's like reaction, his face was just like shock, as if he's already launched the ball and realised he's not there. As if, what are you doing, man? That's where you should be. Kind of like, just, it's one of the ones, like you're saying, Chris, he does seem to want to be really precise with where he's putting the ball. He wants perfection out of himself in that sense. But there was a couple of ones that seemed just a wee bit overthrown. But overall, you know, great performance, I thought, from him. Not his best, not his worst, no turnovers. And I think, given the criticism he's had off of people the first 2 weeks with 5 interceptions, I think for him to come out this week and not turn over once, you know, hopefully it's kind of... Well, I guess it won't shut people up, because this next time he turns the ball over, it'll go back. But at least it's, you know, kind of, you know, put, you know, a pause on it for now. But for me, it was good. So jumping on to, you mentioned him, Chris, Ben Skoronic, who is without a doubt our fullback now. Is there anyone out there that isn't sold on this guy? Because for me, the turnaround since January to now is like a completely different player. How do you guys feel?
I think he's playing out of his skin, isn't he? I think I heard he did an interview that McVay called him into his office and he thought that was him.
Yeah.
But it was obviously to have that conversation about moving into this sort of new sort of hybrid role. But I think it gives our offense a completely different dimension, because he can catch the ball, he can run with the ball, he's a big unit as well, and that's the reason why he's obviously putting him in the fullback position, because he can do that. And we've always had that from Cup with Bobby Trees, with now Skronik. We've always had blocking wide receivers, which not a lot of teams in the league have. But he is such a bigger guy to actually do that with. And I think he is going to evolve. You may see other teams looking at this because they actually see the options for it. And you may see a change of, well, he's probably built like some of the tight ends in the league, to be fair. So I don't think you can't be sold with it. And it's a bit of a stroke of McVay genius, I think.
Andy, what do you think? James is a stroke of genius?
Yeah, I do, you know. If nothing else, you know, we've seen it now. It's confusing defenses because they don't know, all right, you know, is he going to just stand there and block? Is he going to break out and, you know, catch the ball? You know, it's causing issues for defense because, like I said, they're just like, what, you know, what do we do with them? So we've either got to leave a linebacker in, which is then going to create the space behind the linebacker because they can't drop, you know, into coverage to, you know, to cover, say, the middle of the field, because they're like, well, is he going to come out with the ball? Or, you know, they're ignoring him and crashing down, and he's slipping out into those spaces where they're clearing out of. So I think from McVay, it was a genius idea of, right, how can we best use this guy? And as Chris said, you know, he is built like, you know, one of the smaller, you know, some of the smaller tight ends in the league. But unlike them, he's also got, he does seem to buy into the blocking ability quite well, you know, and it is something that McVay likes. He likes his receivers to block, you know, because of the, you know, the wide zone sort of scheme that we play with the running backs. You know, you need to have your receivers that will block, and he seems to have bought into it. And to be honest, even over the last couple of weeks, you know, he seems to have got a bit better with his blocks. He seems to be getting, you know, there was one or two, you know, even last week where he sort of missed or he didn't quite. This week, he seems to have stepped up again another level and is getting more into those right places. You know, so I think coming forward, he's only going to get better at it the more he does it. And I think, as Chris said, I think some teams are going to start looking at this and going, oh, hang on a minute. Well, if it works for him, why can't it work for us? You know, and we may see, you know, an evolution of, you know, the fullback position to more of a flexed wide receiver. And like I said, he can move around. You know, you see him even, you know, in the game, they'd start him out wide or bring him in, or, you know, they'd start him in there and then drift about wide, which then allows Stafford to see the coverage because, all right, that guy's traveled with him, so there must be a man-to-man. Or, you know, all right, they've just moved around to the zonings, which will then, as I said last week, help Stafford dissect the defense more, you know, which will then open up, you know, hopefully maybe cut down on some of the interceptions that Stafford has been throwing as well.
Yep. On the topic of him blocking, what about the block on JJ Watt, of all people, that Skronik then went on to break free and catch? Of all the guys you're going to try and block, JJ Watt, one of the, like, the best defensive linemen that's been the last 10, 20 years or whatever, this wide receiver, like, stop somebody landing strike, like,
oh, I bet you, JJ Watt wasn't happy when stand you realised.
I would not stand in that way, put it that way. That's like a freight train coming through you.
Yeah, bet you JJ Watt's been getting ripped this week for it, though. You got blocked by a wide receiver, you know, and you got stopped dead in your tracks. But, you know, again, that's, you know, just to say, he's doing that well. He's picking up that blocking stuff. He is, you know, not necessarily completely blocking, but even, you know, just chipping the players on the way through to, you know, maybe put them off the step a little bit, which will then help the O-line. Because if you're slowing that player down half a second because he's just been chipped out, you know, it helps the O-line as well. So, you know, I think, you know, the guy is, you know, way above. And, you know, and let's not forget, he was also our leading receiver this week as well, which, you know, is something that, you know, I think, I don't think last season we'd have ever have even thought about uttering those words. You know,
I didn't even realise that till I looked today.
Yeah, pre-season, we were all, you know, everyone was, you know, is he going to get cut? You know, and this week he's leading us in, you know, yards, which is good. You know, so hopefully, you know, like I said, the guy's got his niche, he's got his job. And, you know, the only thing that worries me is because he is going up against, you know, defensive ends and defensive tackles, is that at some point he might just take a big knock off one of some of these bigger guys. You know, there's some out there who are 330 plus pounds, that he might get injured, which then obviously, you know, changed the dynamic again. But, you know, fingers crossed he doesn't, and he just keeps playing like he is at the moment.
Yep, just as you mentioned, Andy, Skronik was our leading receiver. 4 targets, 4 receptions for 66 yards. Higbee, again, another solid performance for him. 4 receptions off 4 targets for 61. Cup, I can't remember the last time he had yards this low. 4 receptions for 44 yards, 6 targets, which ended his streak of, would have been his 16th game if he got it, of 90 plus yards in a game. And I think the last team that held him under the 90 yards was, in fact, the Cardinals last year. But Cup still got in the end zone with a rushing touchdown. How was it? Was it disappointing that Cup couldn't get in the game more? Or do you think, guys, that it was more part of the game plan to look elsewhere?
Yeah, I think, yeah, as we saw last week, the Cardinals were, you know, they were double teaming him and they were trying to keep him out of the game, you know, which is going to happen when you're, you know, you're in such a focus and such a highlights. This is what teams are going to do. They're going to force him out. But I'd say it was nice to see that even though, you know, he was out the game, we still managed to get the ball move and get the points, you know, and win even. So, you know, some people were saying, oh, you know, without Cup, the Rams are nothing. But it's nice to be able to see, you know, OK, Cup didn't have a fantastic game. He wasn't, you know, 90 plus yards, you know, a couple of touchdowns. But we still managed to grind that win out, you know, by using other players such as Skronik, Higbee, you know, and, you know, I wouldn't say get the running game going. You know, we'd still like to see a lot more yards, but, you know, we're getting that going as well. And, you know, obviously Cooper Kupp, you know, he's like, okay, well, you're going to stop me through the air. That's fine. I'll just take you on the ground instead and win it. You know, so it was good to see that we are still being able to force the results, even, you know, with them locking him out.
Despite his, I wouldn't say really lack of yards, despite that, Cup was targeted the most with 6 targets. Behind him was Allen Robinson with 5 targets, but he only made 2 catches for 23 yards. Just bringing in one of the questions we get in social media from Lewis Perry. How worried are you guys about Allen Robinson right now? He had a ball go through his hands for a touchdown, miscommunication with staff on the next play too. He doesn't seem to be making much impact at all, even though Cup is taking away 2 defenders most of the time. How do you guys feel about Robinson so far? Do you think it's just a bit of his luck's not went his way, or do you think it's just one of ones he's not clicking yet?
I think it's a bit of both. I think he's not clicking with Stafford yet. I think they're still working on some things, you know, a bit of miscommunication and stuff, you know. But, you know, the week before, he had a reasonably solid, you know, a decent game for us. You know, I think as well, like I say, it's just luck, you know. Sometimes wide receivers, I think, is one of those positions, again, that plays on confidence. So if you've dropped a couple of passes, one, your quarterback's not going to be confident you're going to catch the next one. So, you know, you may not look at him. And two, you know, his head might have just been down because it's like, oh, I've made 2 mistakes. One of them was, you know, an easy walking touchdown, you know, so I think it is just a combination of luck, confidence, and, you know, just that little, maybe a little bit of a not quite gelling as well as they should at the moment, myself personally.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Andy's right. I think it is a bit of a bit of both. I think he just needs a couple of things to fall for him. I think if that pass had obviously gone into his hands, and I'm trying to think now, did he turn his head at the wrong time? Was he looking? I don't know, really know how it went through, where it went through, why are his hands so far apart? I think it's just all of accumulation of things. I don't think we've got to worry about anything. He's a good receiver. He's running the routes. He's not hiding, put it that way. He's making himself available. So you can't knock him for that. And I think once they start watching the film together, once they start clicking, I think it's going to be another option for us. And there's going to be people, if it carries on, that are talking the OBJ stuff as he potentially gets fit again throughout the season. Who knows? But this, we brought this guy in for a reason. And I think McVeigh is putting him out there in the field. So I think he trusts him enough to do so. And I think he's just, things will click in it, and I think the touchdowns will come. And I think that's going to be the options, obviously, that we will have, obviously, with the cup situation, with him not taking the ball potentially as often as he did in this game, because we've always had that throughout McVeigh's coaching era, I suppose, is more options. Yes, Cooper Kupp has taken that next level on in the last few years, but he does like to have those two, three, four options, which will come through the season. Like I said before, a lot of these players, we're only into week three, and it is only their third time on the field, so it will come.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those ones that he's not fully clicked. Stafford's used to working so much with Kupp, and it's one of those ones that McVeigh seems to, like you're saying, Chris, try to get more guys in kind of rotationally, I guess, to get more kind of like targets. And I think for Robinson, you know, he was targeted five times. Like I said, he only made two catches. Happens, I guess. For me, it kind of feels like the way I kind of felt with Woods last year, where he wasn't getting used in games. It didn't feel like he was getting used or targeted much in games. And he was just kind of, not really an afterthought, I guess, but it just wasn't fully part of the plan. I'm hoping that's not going to be the case with Robinson, because obviously we lost Woods, and, you know, personally, wasn't really kind of too happy about that myself, because I felt like he was, like we're saying about Skoronek, he was another receiver that could block well as well, whereas Robinson isn't that kind of receiver. But is Robinson going to be like is he going to be like DeSean Jackson last year, the guy we're looking for big plays out of, or whatnot? Like you said, I guess it's only week three, it's only his third game. I don't know if maybe he should have maybe seen a couple of snaps or whatnot through the preseason, just to get him familiar with the system, then bringing him in and expecting him from week one to hit the ground running. Just moving on lastly from the offense, again, it's another big talking point. Again, Cam Akers, more snaps this week. More carries, got 12 carries for 61 yards, and they got a touchdown. He averaged 5.1 yards a carry. But the big talking point is he fumbled the ball pretty much on the goal line, which would, at the time, would have put us out of sight. Looking at some of the comments we've got in for some people online, James Pearson told us that he's worried pretty much about Akers' ball control. Lump86 tells us the fumble will get all the headlines, but the main concern for him is Akers has still got a lack of burst in decision making. A couple of examples he picked out where he just seemed to ignore play design, pick the wrong lane. It's something that's forgivable for a rookie, but not someone that's a few years in now. Is there a concern that Akers is more of a short to medium term solution for us rather than a long term solution running back? Or, in fact, Andy, I asked this question to you last week. I'll ask it to Chris Bustle. Are people still being too harsh on Akers?
I think he had quite a good game, in my opinion, in my uneducated opinion. I thought he did quite well to have the heat that's on him. And some, you said in one of there that he's a 2 year three. He missed pretty much a whole season in his first season, theoretically, for through injury. So he is a little bit behind the curve of where we probably should be at this time of his career. So we've got to look at it in that. And I think the thing you've got, obviously, with ourselves is that he came in, he did what he did, and there's been so much heat put on him and so much focus put on him because we've only, obviously, got Henderson in there now as well as the other running back, which I thought Akers played quite well. I thought the fumble, yes, where it was, isn't the most helpful, of course. But I think actually it was quite a good play from the defence of the Cardinals. And remind me, I think it was it Budu Baker that actually did the with his helmet? And I think it was actually very good defence from him, the way he actually got the ball out of his hand. I don't think there'd have been a lot of running backs to actually hold on to that when he's hit it that clean and clear with his elbow, his shoulder slash helmet. I think it was good work on his part. And I think, yeah, he's still young. He's still learning the game. He's hopefully, he obviously, will know the playbook, and running backs will miss lanes every now and again. But for me, he looks like he seems like he's what a confidence player. So he needs that time on the field. He needs to play the plays, and he needs people. We mentioned it earlier about Jalen Ramsey. From what the TV screens were very clever, and obviously camera work and editing is very good. But it looked like he was the first person to go up to him to actually talk to him. And I think that's what he needs. Rather than people getting on his case, I think he actually needs that arm round him sort of kind of guy.
Yeah. For me, like, I just felt like it was just a shame for him. I don't blame him for the fumble. Like you said, Chris, Baker, that when you see the replay from behind the end zone, Baker's nowhere near the line of scrimmage when Ramsey's literally, when Akers is coming up to the line. It's perfect timing, and it's you know, it's perfect hit for him to hit it out of his arms.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it was just a shame because Akers is trying to get the ball over the line. There's a lot of running backs that, yeah, they would keep it close to the ball, they keep it tight and just try to go over. But he's trying to think about getting the score. That's it. It's not about trying to do anything flashy or whatnot and it going wrong. He's thinking, and he can't see Baker. So how's he supposed to know that one of the defensive backs is coming in to make a play? He's just trying to reach to get that ball over the line. And I felt sorry for him because leading up to it, he was starting to get momentum and he was starting to actually seem more confident and be more relaxed with his running. And there was a few plays where he did break out from beyond the line. So there was a couple of ones he got, you know, between 7 and 11 yards on a few carries, which was great. I think, yeah, it's just a case of confidence. I think because of the criticism he's maybe had the first couple of weeks, he's one of those players that people are finding it unintentionally easy to jump on the back of.
Yeah.
But of the 3 weeks, and granted, he didn't see many snaps against the Bills, you know, so mostly compared to last week, it was a much better performance from him. And maybe the next game coming up is maybe not going to be the best one for him to try and kind of build on it, as we'll come to in a few minutes. But I think if he's got guys like Ramsey, you know, encouraging him, like say, just go back out there, just keep your head up. Like you said, it's like, and I think it is easy to forget, even though he did come back right at the tail end of the season, he was out pretty much the whole season. And when he came in, he was more just contributing when he could. He wasn't really in to make a big difference or anything like that. It wasn't like, oh, he was exploding or whatnot. So this is the first full season we're getting to see him from the start. So it's, like I said, maybe it's just unintentionally too easy to jump on players' backs like that. But like I said, I felt sorry for him with that fumble because in that drive specifically, and he'd obviously previously got a touchdown, which I was really happy for him to see. And I did say in the Discord chat at the time, he needed that. And it's one of those, hopefully he can come out and get, even if he doesn't get in the end zone, if he can get some good carries and a bit of momentum, maybe he'll just, the confidence will kind of grow in him and we'll get to see whatever it was they saw when they drafted him.
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the criticisms I've seen, you know, is over the top. But I think that's, again, when you're in the position where you've just won the Super Bowl, well, everyone expects you to go, you know, back to the Super Bowl, wants you to go back to the Super Bowl. The focus and the eyes are on you, you know. But some of the comments, you know, I think it was Shannon Sharper, he just wants to get himself caught. You know, it's not on. You know, first week it was Stafford washed, Goff's better. You know, Jalen Ramsey's a shell of himself.
Sorry, you know, that first comment makes me smile.
Seriously, week one it was Goff's better than Stafford. Why did you
see? Sorry to interrupt, but did you see the throw up that Goff threw?
Yes.
Where they lost the what yeah. Was that?
It was 2020 golf all over again.
Yeah. And he's basically, and it's just like, if someone's making a comment, I'm sorry, no.
You know, no. I say, you know, Ramsey's, you know, there's all this, you know. Yeah, he fumbled the ball. I know he has had a few fumbling issues. But, you know, the first, as you say, year, the first ones, he was a rookie. You know, you put them down to rookie mistakes. The one in the game, like you said, he was reaching out. He was trying to get that ball across the line. You know, maybe with a little bit more nuance in the game now, you know, and a bit more maybe coaching. It'd be, yeah, you're on the goal line. We can understand why you want to do it, but, you know, it's probably safer. Keep the ball in your chest. If you don't get the touchdown, well, you know what, we'll live in. It wasn't as if it was fourth down and we had to go, you know, it was get it or bust. It was a case of, you know, maybe, you know, coaching them up. Right, you know what, it was only, what was it, I think second down. Well, you know, so we've still got, you know, two downs potentially to go with. You know, keep that ball in your chest. Don't let them have any chance. You know, so it's just that unlucky situational football that, you know, maybe, you know, hindsight, and, you know, he'll look back at that and go, actually, you know what, yeah, I should have kept hold of that ball. You know, and he'll learn from that. But like I said, I thought he had a decent game. You know, his longest run was 14 yards. You know, like I've said previously, I do worry that maybe that little bit of burst with the injury he had, you know, the Achilles injury, four running backs can sometimes take that little bit of oomph out of his step. But the one thing I will agree with is I don't think it's as much he picks up the playbook. He hasn't picked up the playbook. I think it's more of, this is what the playbook says, so that's supposed to be my lane. And he doesn't look and go, actually, the lane's closed, so I won't. And I think this is where people see him going into the back of his own lineman, because he's expecting that gap. And maybe that's just something, you know, maybe he's getting his head down and just running rather than looking up. So maybe that's just maybe a coaching issue of maybe, you know, right, OK, you know what, stop putting your head down, get your head up and look. All right, the lane might not be there. You're going to have to make adjustments, you know. But as you say, you know, he is still technically, you know, we can basically write off last year because he wouldn't have seen the practice field for much of the year because he was just in rehab. So he, you know, so he is behind that curveball, as, you know, they said. So, you know, we're in week three. If he's still like this come week 10, week 12, then obviously, you know, you start asking questions. But I think the other thing that is on people's minds is obviously, I think Darrell Henderson's now in his fourth year. This is his contract year. So, you know, there will start being questions. Well, do we pay Henderson? Do we let him go and draft someone else? You know, so I think some of that is also playing into people's minds, is looking forward as well as to what's going to happen next year. So,
but yeah, and the two quarterbacks at the minute as well are pretty even. So if you look at the attempts for Henderson, 27 for 111 yards, Akers 30 for 105.
Yeah.
Now, you probably wouldn't have thought that Akers had had more carries than Henderson. So they are spreading it quite wide. And they're actually being very similar. Mm. So it just seems like exactly the same as what we said before. It's just that luck situation, the same with Robinson. I think it once it clicks, I think they'll be off and off they go.
Yeah. The only thing I will, one more thing on Akers that I am, to be honest, disappointed with, if he was, you know, coming out of college, a good back for catching the ball out of the backfield, you know, and we don't seem to be using him for that very much. And that's something maybe I'd like to, maybe that could help his confidence a little bit if we can maybe get him going in the passing game, because he does have a good set of hands on him and he can make people miss in the open field. So I'd maybe just like to see, you know, is there something going on behind the scenes? Is he having drops, you know, from passes so they're not going using that aspect of him? You know, maybe like see some of that come in and let's just see if maybe that would give him a bit of confidence as well going forward.
Yep, a bit like on the kind of receiving kind of aspect of his game, he did line up in eye formation with Skoronek in front of him. So I think as the weeks come on, with defenses getting more adjusted to Skoronek playing in that role, hopefully that Akers can break free and break wide to the line to open up another passing option. Because there was quite a few times where like Skoronek would break completely free and wide open and got a few receptions like that. So hopefully him in that role can maybe draw defensive players to allow Akers to open up, you know, his kind of passing, kind of his receiving game, I guess. But it's one of those ones, just need to keep encouraging him. I would not have thought for a second they had more yards than Henderson, so surprised to hear that. But equally, I suppose it's good for him. Like, I remember the majority of them came in this week's game alone. So with Henderson coming into a contract year, it's a bit of a knife edge, really, isn't it? That we could potentially be looking at totally revamping the running back core from top to bottom.
Yeah, I think that's why obviously they brought in the new guy, was to maybe like, okay, we'll give him a year, you know, sitting behind the two of them, you know, give him a few touches and, you know, here and there, and let's see, you know, to get him up to speed for maybe Henderson going, you know, and then, yeah, you know, obviously we don't, I think Jake Funk has just fell off the earth. So, you know, we are basically looking at those two, and, you know, maybe the injury, as I say, has scuppered McVay's plans a little bit, and he's having to do things differently. So, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes. But, you know, I think if we can get Aker's confidence up, as Chris said, you know, I think it will help him in the long run to maybe get himself up to what we sort of expected of him. And I think as well, the pressure of, you know, after his rookie year, everyone was starting to compare him, you know, is he better than Todd Gurley either? You know, it's quite large shoes to fill, really, in reality, you know, so that can, that must be putting some pressure on him as well, you know, that they're shoes he's trying to fill. So, you know, maybe that's got something to do with it as well.
Any final thoughts on the game before we move on, guys?
The only thing I'll probably say is, you know, I think we touched on it, you know, Derrion Kendrick was our, you know, total solos tackle leader and, you know, got a pass defended as well. So, you know, it was nice to see him come in and, you know, didn't really miss a beat from, you know, what we've expected. There was a few, you know, all right, rookie mistakes, you know, which allowed players to go. But on the whole, I thought he did well. And, you know, again, Bobby Wagner, you know, just plodding along with the same pretty much stats every week, just, you know, getting the job done for us. So I think he's slowly turning into a good signing for us as well.
Chris, any final thoughts?
No, not for me. I think it's just a matter of, like I said before, it wasn't prettiest, but we got the W, we move on, and another divisional game, and bring it on with Jimmy G to smash his face in, basically.
Yep, so this coming Monday night, or rather Tuesday morning for us here across the pond, it's
very
our
early
first visit to the Denham Stadium, somewhere that isn't San Francisco, as we take on the 49ers in our next divisional matchup. Game will be available on Sky Sports NFL, at kicking off at 1:15 in the morning UK time. You guys staying up for it?
Nope.
I'll see how I feel on the day, to be honest, if I'm still awake at that time. If I'm up anywhere near that time, I know for a fact I won't have the discipline not to watch it, let's just put it that way.
I think it's, for me, it's one of those ones that we're going into, get specifically the you know, the road game against the 49ers, I prefer not to watch it. I prefer just to watch the highlights. I'm going on the game last season there, I'm glad I did that, because it was just so frustrating to watch. But so yeah, I'll probably watch it the next morning. So, Chris, how are you feeling going into this one?
Confident. To the fact that I think I'd be confident if it was Lance at quarterback. I think I'm even more confident with Jimmy G at quarterback, because all I can see him is spinning around as AD throws into the floor. It was a very, very poor, from what I've seen highlights-wise from their game. Was it the Sunday night game this week? And you obviously have just seen the way that they obviously lost the game on the points and the safety. It's just like, we've just got to get out. Simple as that. And we've said it before, yeah, especially with this team, it's just straight down the throat. And I think it's one of them. It's put the pressure on. Really get his head down. He will feel the pressure in this game, I think, more than any that he potentially will play this year, because of what happened obviously last year in the playoffs and everything else. And I think it's now a matter of us actually putting a bit of a stamp down and a bit of a show the league we are the Super Bowl champions, and we're out to fight it. We're top of our division. Yeah, like I said before, it's not pretty, but we are. Let's put a bit of a stamp down and show the league, yeah, the Rams are here.
Andy, how are you feeling going into this one?
To be brutally honest, nervous. You know, it is that game that we seems to be our, you know, banana peel during the regular season. We never seem to get it going, you know, whether it's, you know, the confidence of the team or anything, you know. unlike Chris, I would have actually probably felt a little bit more comfortable if Lance was in the game, because Jimmy G, as much as, you know, he's not the world's greatest quarterback, is used to the atmosphere, used to the pressure of that divisional game and the rivalry. Whereas for Trey Lance, it would have been a completely, you know, new thing for him. So I personally would have, like I said, been more confident with Lance in, simply because he's more likely to make those mistakes, whereas Jimmy G is more of that, you know, game manager, and he just, you know, it's what he is. And he always seems to, as a rule, tend to, regular season anyway, have more luck against us than any other team for some strange and unknown reason. You know, he normally, as a rule, looks like a competent quarterback when he plays against us. So, but more confident still than I was at the beginning of the season, simply because of how well, if nothing else, our defense is playing. You know, I think defensively we're going to match up very well against them, and especially now, you know, that they're losing Trent Williams to, I think it's potentially a season-ending injury. You know, that's quite big shoes to fill, and their depth at tackle, I think Leonard Floyd, Terrell Lewis, Justin Hollins off the edge are just going to eat them alive, hopefully with any luck. So, you know, fingers crossed.
In terms of the matchup, looking at both teams' offences, the Rams are rated at present 25th in the league. The 49ers are rated 24th. Defensively, we are rated 19th. They're rated 6th. Passing, we are rated 17th. They're 29th. Rushing, we're 30th, which you'd expect. We'd be quite low down there, and they're rated 6. Now, these games are normally described as ground and pounds. We, last season, we seemed to struggle to really get the passing game going. I'm concerned that with an inability that we usually find to keep a consistent running game going, that we are going to be forced to rely heavily on the passing game. Do you guys think that we should stick on the ground, or do you think that we should air it out?
I think, again, we've just got to balance it, to be brutally honest. I think we have to sort of try and get the run game going just to keep them honest, to stop them from, you know, hitting and blitzing us. You know, I think, what was it, in the last game they had 4 sacks. You know, so they have the potential to get after us. So I think, to be honest, you know, we have to keep them honest. We have to make them. And, you know, we may be able to get, you know, a few breaks out of that, and maybe, you know, split them apart a little bit. And then that will then allow us to, you know, get that passing game going, especially off the play action, which is, you know, I think where we will be successful, because, you know, they'll have their guys crashing down on the line, and Stafford can get out the pocket and get the ball rolling, and maybe, hopefully, you know, Robinson and Kupp and Higbee can sort of have that, and maybe even Skowronek can have that game, you know, because again, we're playing with a different system as well. They're not going to be used to Skowronek coming out of that backfield, so it'll be interesting to see. Although they have Cal Juszczyk, you know, and he's plays that fullback role, I don't think he's as dynamic as a pass catcher as Skowronek is. So that maybe, for me, could be a key area to focus on. If we can get Skowronek going, that may help us be successful in the game.
Chris, what kind of key areas do you think will be more critical for us if we want to win this game?
I think that the offense will effectively take care of itself. I think it will be more, I think it's in one way or another, it's quite a similar look to what we did this week of effectively keeping their score down, because I think our scoring potential will actually just be bigger than theirs. I think it's a matter of keeping them low on the score, keeping them to, if he keeps it to a field goal, great. Obviously, if we put them 3 and out, fantastic. And I think it's going to be a much that sort of a game rather than us trying to blow them out. I think that's just that could be the way of the season. I'm not sure. Of it, it's not about that we're going to outscore teams. It's about that we're actually going to stop you scoring, and we know that we will score on the other side of the ball. I think like I said before, I think we've got to go after Jimmy G. I know that I think I read the other day that we obviously saw the Jimmy G that we all know, but then he'll probably turn into Tom Brady when he plays against us.
Yeah,
but there's an element of doubt in his mind after what happened last year, and we've got to really push and play on that. And I think McVay's not stupid. I think he'll know how to play this. And I think what you will actually find, and if you really, not that I've got the time or the knowledge to do it, but I reckon if you were, after this game, I think we'll come out with a win. And I think if you actually look at some of the plays side by side, I think you will actually see very similar plays to what you saw in the playoff game. I think he'll show him a lot of the same to actually mess with his head even more rather than showing him new things. Because those didn't work the previous time, so you'll try and push it to make it work. And I think there'll be a bit of a proper mind games going on Monday night.
Yeah, I think one thing just to come in on as well is, I think much like we said against Atlanta, if we can stop that run game and put that arm in Jimmy, and they'll put the ball in Jimmy G's game like we did in the playoffs, you know, make him rely on his passing game to get it going. I think that is another key area that we will win this game, because we all know, well, he's very much like Jared Goff was. When the run game's going and everything's going, he looks competent. When it's a case of, right, it's in your arm and you've got to push the ball, yeah, and you've got to do it, that's when we can get at him, and that's when the mistakes will happen.
Yeah, looking at the game on the road to them last year, it was, it was ground and pound. The ball was mostly on the ground. The clock was getting chewed up and swallowed by each team. Like you're saying, you guys are both saying, if we can kind of stop the run game and put the ball in his hand, we can get to him, we can get the pressure on it. I think looking back at it, yeah, McVay's finally got an idea of how to mess with Jimmy G's mind and get to him. So I think, like, yeah, maybe if we do come out and play the same way we did in the NFC Championship game, Garoppolo's going to be like, no, this is happening again. But for me, on the other side of it, perhaps a game plan similar to what we've done against the Cardinals is the way to see it going for this week. And I say that because Cardinals did have a few drives where, you know, they essentially marched down the field, but only came away with three. And it's one of those ones, if you want teams to eat up the clock, if you know, Stafford is able to, you know, not necessarily air it out, but if he's able to make, you know, considerable games and put the ball in the end zone, then I'm quite happy to let them have the ball on the basis that they do nothing with it, or that at best they come out with three. Because it'll really up the clock, keep the clock moving against them and giving them, I suppose they've got more time with the ball, but it's less time to work on their game plan, you know, because they're wanting to just get down the field, because we're essentially just putting the ball in the end zone, you know, not necessarily blowout, but every time we're going up, we're in their red zone, we're putting pressure on their defense. Their defense is getting tired out their offense, because their defense can handle it, and it's one of those ones that Aaron Donald's going to want to get to him again. He's going to, like, you know, Aaron Donald's, you know, made the tackle, and I know it resulted in an interception, but that if Donald is putting the pressure on Jimmy G, that's where his game will just fall apart, because he'll be thinking about that game, like you guys are saying, in the back of his mind, like, oh, I can't do this again, because Garoppolo will be off if he repeats, like, if he has a bad game against us. I reckon, I think they'll be like, nah. I know Lance is injured, right, and he's, you know, he's bothered, but they'll be like, no, we have got to try and look at trading him and getting someone else. And it potentially could end up derailing the 49ers, which, you know, I'd love to see. So for me, I think maybe the Cardinals game was a practice, so to speak, as to how they see this game going, because the containment of Murray was perfect. Putting the ball in his hand, and he couldn't move about with it. And like you guys are saying, whenever Garoppolo plays against us, he goes from being the worst quarterback in the league to looking like Tom Brady, and it's another one. Just like Kyler Murray, like I said last week, I've said repeatedly, every time he gets the ball and he's got time to go, I just scream for someone to hit him. It's the same with Garoppolo. I think because we've shown in the two games at SoFi against him last year, we can get to him. We can build on that. We've got Gaines is getting faster and faster, it seems to be on the line. You've got Wagner there, you've got Hollins, you've got Floyd, you know, you've got Jones, you've got a lot of options there to get to him and get to him quickly. So the key area for me is essentially that, you know, that pass rush, I guess. So we'll just have to see how that goes out. In terms of predictions, you said, Chris, that you've got it down. You reckon we are going to win. Andy, you said you were less confident. Your prediction at the start of the season put us down as a loss. Do you still feel like it would be a loss? Or do you think, given the way the last 2 weeks have went, it would be like a win?
No, I feel, given the how we've played the last 2 weeks, and that said, you know, that the fact that they are also, you know, as much as we have injuries, they're also missing some very key players now through injuries, you know, and I feel more confident now that we can sneak away with this game. Again, I don't think it's going to be a pretty game or anything, but I think it'll be, I think we'll win by a field goal myself now. I'm just that confident at the moment.
At the start of the season, I had this down as a loss as well, just like you did yourself, Andy. But the way the last few weeks have went, I kind of feel like I feel a bit more confident going to it. And just as I mentioned in the game plan last week, when I was watching the Cardinals game, I did have one eye on this game coming up, thinking that this is a way maybe we need to come out initially and start playing against them. Looking at predictions across, you know, our pool of predictors we've got from the community, 10 out of the 27 reckon we'll win, and 17 have got us down as a loss. So it's kind of more in the favour that we're going to go there and lose. But I mean, as both you guys saying, and I do agree, I'm go back on my own prediction of a loss, to think that we'll come out with a win. So just moving on elsewhere in the NFC West. So obviously we had a divisional matchup against the Cardinals, which we won, taking us to 2-1. The Seahawks lost to the Falcons, which is interesting because we beat them last week. And then, as we mentioned, the Broncos beat the 49ers 11-10 thanks to a Jimmy G safety. How do you find
moonwalk, as they call it.
How do you find the divisions looking up, guys? There's been a few comments online that perhaps the bubble has burst with the NFC West being the strongest division in the league. How do you guys feel like the division is looking so far?
To be honest, I still think, we can write the Seahawks off. I think they are in a, you know, bust and rebuild year. I think, you know, ideally they're looking, you know, how close to the number one pick can we get for a new quarterback next year, you know? So
I agree.
But in terms of the other three, you know, the 49ers and the Cardinals, you know, I still think they could be in the playoff hunt with us, you know, come so. At the end of the season, I think the NFC as a division, I think, is a little bit weaker now, obviously, because of all the trades during the off season, you know, and everything seemed to go AFC side. But, you know, this is the perfect time, while it is weaker, for teams like us to say, right, you know, let's stamp our authority and let's maybe, you know, get the number one, you know, let's come out number one in the division so that we get that extra bye week, you know, and we don't have to play the wild card. We can just go straight into the divisional, you know. So, you know, it's one of them at the moment. Yeah, maybe it's a little bit weaker in the whole conference, but in terms of our division, you know, we've still got really three out of the four teams with sort of a playoff expected almost, I'd say.
Yeah, for me, I think it's one of those ones, it doesn't matter how weak our division may look, it seems to be when these teams come up against us, they, you know, they seem to up their game. It's one of those ones, like, just like football, you see, like, oh, you only play like that when you play against us.
Exactly, so, yeah, and anyway, with the Super Bowl champs, everybody's going to up their game against us. Because if you take a scalp off us, then it makes you look better than potentially you are. You've beaten the world champs, do you know what I mean? It's one of them, and I agree with you in relation to the Seahawks. They have lost without Russell Wilson. They're not going to fire, are they? With obviously Geno Smith throwing the ball. I think the Cardinals have got the pressure of that the Super Bowl is in their house. I think we thrived on that. I don't think they will. And obviously the Jimmy G situation in San Francisco. So I'd like to say that we're in the driving seat. We've just got to keep our heads down and move forward with it and not take it for granted. But I think the division has slightly weakened. But like you say, there a divisional game is a divisional game, and I think we've still got three tough divisional games. Flipping it back, gentlemen, very, very quickly, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
I've
sure.
I've figured out what Aaron Donald wants. I know the accolade that he's after. The 138 sacks would be it. You know what he wants. He wants a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He wants McVay to put him in as a running back. That's, I think, what he will want. He wants that TD.
Do you think he'll want it as a running back, or do you think he'll be like, nah?
He has asked, and McVay said no.
Yeah. maybe do what... I can't remember which team it is, where they have to play their defensive tackle as their fullback on, you know, smash plays, goal line plays.
Yeah.
Maybe we just need to do that with them and just... But, you know...
Was it the Ravens a couple of years ago that played it as a running back, and then he just did it as a flip pass over the top of the...
Yeah.
Over the top of the line.
Yeah.
I feel it this year. I don't know why. Watch this space, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Once he gets that rushing touchdown, he'll then want to throw one. And then he'll just kick a field goal. Where does it stop?
I was just going to say...
Well, in the NFL this year, anybody can kick the ball.
Yeah. I was just going to say, no, McVay, he'll probably line him up in the backfield. And everybody will be like, yeah, he's going to rush it, and then he'll slip him out for a pass and touchdown instead. Oh, could you imagine it?
Oh, it'd be amazing. Sorry, I digress.
That's fine. So looking elsewhere in the league, Colts obviously stunned the Chiefs. The Dolphins presented us with they've obviously beat the Bills, but one of the most memorable moments of the week with the punt felt around the world, we'll call it, with the butt punt. I can't even believe I'm going to ask this. How did you guys feel about the butt punt?
Maybe that should be in the title today.
Yeah, maybe so.
When I actually first seen it, I didn't realise it had actually come off his backside.
Yeah.
I thought he just kicked it behind himself. And then I saw it and I thought, yeah, it was a short. He only had a couple of yards to play with, but that's his job. His job is to kick the ball, and it really annoys me when kickers and punters get it wrong. I appreciate it. I've played football, and I've had people running at me. I've never had people that big running at me. Well, maybe when I played Sunday League, maybe I did. But it really annoys me when they get it wrong. And I suppose that's me being quite harsh. But how can you get it that wrong?
I don't know. When I was watching it... I thought immediately that he kicked it straight up in the air and just like he panicked, but I didn't understand why they didn't do what we did.
Just play the safety.
Play the safety and then you get room to punt it out. And the commentators were even calling for them to do that, so I think they were a bit shocked that he'd even done it. And it obviously took for the replays to realise that he'd actually kicked into the guy in front of him.
Yeah, that was something else.
This whole season in the NFL, we're into week three, and there's been so much going on within the league and crazy plays and crazy games. You watch the highlight shows that are on throughout the week, and they're like, we've got too much content to discuss.
Yeah.
There's so much going on around the league.
Redzone's amazing to watch right now. It's probably like, so far, it's been probably the best season to actually have Redzone just sitting on, because... not a lot of games, but it feels like a lot of games are actually really quite close. And like you're saying, Chris, there's a lot happening in them.
Yeah, it seems to be, for me, it feels like either games are close or there's blowouts, there's nothing in between. You know, you're sort of getting games being won by 3-4 points, or, you know, teams are winning by 21 plus points. You know, there doesn't seem to be that in between like there normally is.
Yep, just looking at some of the results, the Packers and the Bucks went close, the Broncos and the 49ers went close. Then you got the Eagles totally dominating the Commanders.
I don't know if anyone watched that, but, you know, that was it. In the first 17 minutes of the game, they had something like 6 sacks Again, poor Carson Wentz was getting battered left, right, and centre. All you could tell the Eagles' defense were like, "Yeah, we had to stand opposite you for 5 years. We weren't allowed to hit you. Now it's our chance. You're going to come for us big time, mate. You are getting off that 5 years frustration in your face."
I have to say that I'm absolutely raging that I didn't start the Eagles in my fantasy team this week. They were worth 18 points. They were worth absolute raging when I turned on the games and seen, like, oh my god, man, they're like, there's nothing going to be left in Wentz when this game's done. Like, they're literally hanging them, drawing them, and quartering them before their very eyes.
Yeah, I was lucky this week, actually, John. I actually did switch over to the Eagles' defense this week, so I did the right thing.
I had a shocking week of mine. In two of my leagues, I had Lamar Jackson as quarterback and still lost both games.
The guy I was up against had Jackson as his quarterback, and he got nearly like half the points that he amassed.
Yeah.
So, was there anything elsewhere in the games that stood out for you guys?
Yeah, one that stood out for me was the Chargers, getting absolutely smoked by the Jaguars. They seem to, you know, Trevor Lawrence for them.
Smoked as well.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence for them is starting to look like, you know, the quarterback that I think people were beginning to think he is or should be. You know, he is starting to look like, you know, a competent, decent quarterback. And then obviously, you know, we had yesterday's game, which was the, you know, divisional game in the NFC East between Dallas and New York, which, you know, I'm going to be honest. If you'd have said to me, you know, they're playing with Cooper Rush as their quarterback, I think, you know, and they keep winning games, you're like, do you actually need Dak Prescott anymore? You know, is Dak the problem? So, you know, I was surprised at that. I did actually expect New York to kind of batter Dallas on that one, but, you know, they've come through and won again with, you know, literally a practice squad quarterback in the team.
With the Chargers one, I don't know if any saw the tweet from the Jags. Did posted it was obviously I'm scrolling trying to find it. Yeah, there we go. So it's like Jags win, and it's a broken charger, like an iPod charger, and the caption is, "Y'all got a charger we could borrow." Like, oh. I seen that and I was like, that is just brilliant.
The Eagles are the Jags, they got some good social media people, aren't they?
Yeah. I suppose when you've kind of been rubbish for the past God knows how many years, though, yeah. It's about the only, you've got to keep the humour up in the social media, otherwise I think it'll get a bit depressing after a while with them.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got the London games starting as well this week, gents.
Yeah, the London games, yeah.
Hopefully the Saints get beat, and all the Saints people that I know are really upset by it. Not that I'm bitter.
Of course not, no.
Well, we love the Saints on this podcast, don't we?
Well, yes.
Oh, yeah. So, well, that's I suppose that on that topic, will you guys be watching the London games, or are you be like, I'll just catch the highlights?
No, I'm probably going to watch it.
If I'm truthfully honest, what time does it kick off?
2:30, I think it is.
It's the same time as the Manchester Derby. I think you can probably all guess which one I'm going to be watching.
Probably the Saints game.
Yeah, secretly sat there with your Saints hat on going, yay!
No. And I think it's actually probably bad planning from the Sky Sports and the NFL to put it on the same day as the Manchester Derby for the United versus City play. There you go.
Yeah, probably not the best idea, but...
Saying that, as a Man United fan, we might be 4-0 down by half an hour, so I may be watching it.
Yeah, well, you never know. You never know with that one.
And this one's, it's Tottenham, isn't it, this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the ground that the NFL paid for.
Yeah, there's been loads of social media posts showing you them. Oh, look, they're changing the pitch. Whoa, how cool is this?
Yeah,
it was cool the first time we've seen it. By the time we get to the 20s.
I don't know if you guys watch a lot of the stuff, obviously, the Good Morning Football and stuff like that, but they've gone all in this year. Good Morning Football are here now, and they have been all week. They've never done that before. So I think they are taking the UK market a little bit more serious and actually seeing it. And I was watching a bit of it today, and Dan Hansis was on and basically saying to the Good Morning Football guys. I don't think you realise how big it is over here. We're doing a live show at one of the rooms at the O2, and they were like, you're at the O2? And he's like, yeah, we're at the O2. So I think they're maybe taking a little bit more note of actually that it's growing over here and we're doing this for a reason. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's been long enough. Like, when was it? You're talking, it was a good, 10, 15 years ago when these games properly started. So this one was ones that it's long overdue that they start to take it, you know, seriously. But I guess it's taken for them to put a game in Germany from the go, well, do you know what? The international market really is as big as we think it is, and it's about time we start treating it like that, because I suppose the whole thing last year, this is your market, that's your market, or not, that they can't expect teams to expand fan bases in the league and the sport to expand in other countries unless they actually go there and they actually treat it. Like, yeah, our sport is part of your country now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's for me, it's long overdue. It's great to see that. And I do wonder if they'll do it with the Munich game as well.
Yeah,
possibly.
Interesting to see.
So moving over to our questions in social media, I did bring a few that we had into our kind of review. So starting off with Kevin Doyle. Would a win in San Francisco put us as hot favourites for the division already? That'd be two road wins in the division. Seahawks are not a good team, so I'm assuming we win both of these. That would then give us two home games against the Niners and Cardinals to sweep divisional opponents. Andy, Jake, if we win on Monday, it puts us as hot favourites? Or do you think there's a lot of football still to play?
Still a lot of football left to be said, but it would certainly put us in the driving seat. But, you know, it would be ours to throw away. You know, like we say, divisional games, anything can happen, you know. But I do think if nothing else, it would give us the confidence going forward in the season, you know, that, OK, you know, we've beat both our divisional rivals on the road, you know, which, you know, is a tough ask, you know. And I think that would be the more thing. It will put us, you know, on that driving seat of it's ours then to throw away.
Chris?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would put us in the driving seat. And like I said before, I think we are in the position to be able to do that. So, yeah, I agree with Kev on that. I think you'd like to say the Seahawks are not canning it, because you're not allowed to say that anymore, because you can get in trouble for saying you're canning it. But they are. Get the obviously the two road games out of the way, and then so we've taken back to SoFi. So yeah, I think it would put us into the hot seat, and it's just a matter then of keeping going. So yeah, I think it would do, yeah.
Ben Williams asks, would you keep the offensive line intact when everyone is back fit? The offensive line has been better the past few weeks as a unit. Chris, do you think we keep it going the way it is, or do you see the guys who have been, you know, moved into different positions moving back to where they should be?
I don't know, really. It's a tough one, that, isn't it? Because you don't want to fix something that isn't broke, I suppose. But you also give guys the look that they're the starter. I think it's a tough one. It all depends on where we are at that point and how fit people are, I suppose, for me. And I'm not a big fan of bringing someone in just because of who they are. You've got to earn it. So I think it's hard, obviously, to earn it when you're not playing, but you've got to show that you want it. So I don't know. I'm not sure on that.
For me, I would say it's one of I'd agree. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Week one, with everyone out there on the line, we got absolutely decimated. Last 2 weeks, defensive line has performed a lot better at protecting Stafford. But are they going to be as good at protecting them if they come up again? If you put the way we've got the offensive line there now, if you put them back up against the Bills, would they stop, you know, that rush coming? I think it's one of those ones. We need to see how the kind of season's going to go in terms of who we're coming up against, because you can only block and protect against who's in front of you. Granted, they have played well the last 2 weeks as a unit with you know, guys moving about due to injuries. But I think it's one of those ones that we kind of need to see how the season develops. But if these guys are going to perform consistently and do well at protecting the pass rush and, you know, stop guys getting to Stafford, then certainly don't change it then. Scott Cutwood asks, do you think we will up Higby's receptions? I think he's been one of our better players this season. Andy, do you think Higby should be getting more receptions?
It's a difficult one with that one, to be honest, because obviously it's the gate. You know, it depends on the game plan and how, you know, we want to use them. Don't forget, you know, outside of, you know, our offensive line, he's on, obviously, up until the revelation of Benny Scow, he's our next best blocker. And sometimes we're going to have to just keep him in there to help the O-line. I have noticed since week one, we do seem to be keeping Higby a little bit more back in to help the line out. So, you know, it's, I think it depends on the game plan each week and who, you know, as we said with the offensive line, who we're up against, what the pass rush is like, you know, can we leak him out? But, you know, again, you know, everyone was moaning about him the first week because he had a couple of drops. And now, you know, so we just see how he goes. You know, I do think there's more to come out of him, but it's whether scheme and who we're up against, whether we can actually, you know, expand his role a little bit.
Okay. And lastly, moving on to number one, Jack Nine. It's all to do with Jalen Ramsey. He sent us a couple of questions, so I'll ask each of you one of them. So, Chris, I'll start with you. Do you see Ramsey as a coach in the future or working behind the scenes in a more of a GM role based on his player recruitment skills and his influence over the uniform?
If I'm truthfully honest, I don't see him in either. I just don't know if he's that kind of a guy. I think he's a very good leader on the field, but there's a lot of good leaders on the field that then don't obviously go into the coaching world. Do I see him as a GM? I think that'd be absolutely crazy. Crying out loud. He might be quite a good GM in Vegas, maybe. That's a bonkers question. I love it. But no, I don't see him in any of them.
Andy, so that's a kind of, double barrel question. So, in fact, I'll ask each of your thoughts on this one after this one. Right? So, the question is basically, when his kind of career starts getting a bit further on, do you think that Ramsey could make a good safety when his corner days numbered? In terms of what we said earlier on, in kind of late 20s is when corners start to kind of lose their speed. So, do you think with his ability to read the game that he could perhaps transition into a role as a safety?
Yeah, I don't see why not. To be honest, I think sometimes this star role that they seem to have made for him kind of does incorporate a bit of the safety stuff anyway with, you know, how he defends the run sometimes. So I think, although he's not technically playing as a safety, I do think sometimes when they do put him, you know, closer to the line and on that role, he is sort of playing that safety role. So, you know, I could see maybe, you know, him, you know, later on in his career, you know, doing what a few corners have done and transitioning over to the safety. And I think he'd take that quite easily and quite well. It would be whether he feels, you know, himself, whether he wishes to do that, or he'll get to that point where he'll be like, you know what, I don't want to do that, so I'll retire. So, but yeah, I could see him doing it quite easily. Like I say, I think he's already doing it in certain packages and certain plays.
Lastly, to ask both of you is, what do you make of the Saul socks?
Oh, I thought, I was like, did someone like forget to pack socks? Did they not pack enough socks for the poor guy? You know, and if, or, you know, was this just his statement? I think of, you know, everyone noticed me because I'm going to have to, you know, a really good game. Yeah, you don't know with them, but, you know, fair play to him. And I, you know, I believe someone said he went to USC to actually get the socks from there. So, you know, he's obviously gone out of his way to do it because of, you know, so, but I am surprised we haven't seen heard off the league yet that he's received a fine for it, which is a bit, you know, normally by Monday, you know, even in our time, you'd normally hear that, the, you know, who's been fined this week. And the fact we haven't heard anything is kind of like, has he got away with this? Or
yeah. Matt, you know, Matt Gay got fined for showing about a leg.
Yeah, I've never understood that one for kickers. You know, at the end of the day, it should be whatever's comfortable. You know, they're not exactly in there tackling or, you know, like some players. I didn't understand that one. But yeah, I say I'm more shocked, as I say, that we haven't had any announcements of a fine yet. I'm just going to quickly check Twitter now in case I've missed it while we've been online.
And I'm quite surprised as well.
Yeah. It's pathetic, isn't it, really? It's pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the colour of the uniform. I've just been watching some highlights where the Patriots were playing and they have guys wearing red Under Armour, their shirts, where other people are wearing blue. Does it really matter?
No.
I appreciate that there's a protocol that you've got to stick to, but it's still within the colour code of the uniforms. Just let them play ball, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think so. As long as they've got the main safety equipment on, you know, what colour socks or to be honest, the one that winds me up the most, in fairness with the league, is choose the cleats. What difference does it make whether they're bright coloured or not? Yeah, now I'm like shocked that we haven't heard anything yet about it.
So last thing we need to do here, guys, before we wrap up now, is pick our players of the week. Chris, could you tell us who you think your player or players of the week is?
I'm going to go with Andy's name for him now because I quite like it. Benny Skull. Love that.
Andy, do you want to pick a defensive one for us? Because what in the first episodes we've seemed to have picked one from either side of the team. So who would your defensive player be?
I'm going to go with the young lad, Derrion Kendrick. You know, I thought rookie, first game, the pressure of, you know, it's a divisional game on the road. You know, I thought, on the whole, the lad played well. You know, he did what we wanted him to do. So, you know, full marks to the guy. I think he deserves it on the defence this week.
Okay, so there you have it, folks. Ben Skoronek, two-time player of the week for us this season, and Derrion Kendrick, our defensive player of the week. So that about does it for this episode of the LA Rams UK podcast. Chris, anything you want to add in before we wrap up?
No, good to be back, gentlemen. Keeping it going nicely.
Yep, great to have you back, Chris. Andy?
No, nothing for me, mate. I think we've just about covered everything this week.
Excellent. And with that, folks, we will see you next week, where hopefully we will be talking about another Rams win. So thanks for joining me, Chris. Thanks for joining us, Andy. And thanks to all you out there listening to us. Go Rams!